Okay, I'm just going to pray before we turn to God's word this morning. Oh, Father, thank you. Lord, we have come around your table this morning, truly the table of the King, the King of all kings, the King above all kings. And Lord, we have remembered the death of Jesus, our Saviour, to cleanse us from our sin, to give us life. Oh Lord, and bring us into that place of relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Father, may our hearts be open, oh God, as we turn to read your word and to hear your word this morning. Father, we ask it in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have you heard that expression, "Oh, that's one of life's mysteries"? It comes up in conversation, doesn't it? And sometimes hear it occasionally in regard to a particular person. I'm not looking at anybody. But occasionally we say of somebody, he or she is just one of life's mysteries. And life is a mystery sometimes. And how do we explain it? How do we explain life? Life is a journey. Yes, it is, isn't it? It is a journey. Yeah, that's true. And we are all on that journey, aren't we? We're all moving along that road of life, the journey of life. But the experience differs from person to person. It's the same road, the road of life, but we experience life differently. We have different circumstances, different backgrounds. So our experience of life differs greatly one from another. And a godly man was once asked if he would give his testimony to church service. And I suppose he was well into his 70s. And he began by saying that he had become a Christian when he was quite a small lad and at an early age. And he then went on to say something that surprised some people. He said, God knew it was going to be a long, tough task with me, so he started early when I was a child. And this was a very godly man that the church had known him for some time. And he began to share his testimony of how God had shaped him and worked on him from a young boy until the present day. And as he shared his story and his experiences, the people realized that what they saw, the person they saw before them, was the product of many years that had been shaped and molded by the loving hand of God. He hadn't just been pressed out of the mold as a godly man. It didn't work like that. But over the years, God had shaped and molded and rubbed off some of the sharp edges and changed by God. And he had made that choice to let God into his life to complete a work. And it was a lifetime's work. And God was still working on that man. A lifetime's work. But, and it's a big but, what is a lifetime? What do we consider a lifetime? 70 years? 85 years? Perhaps some might even reach the grand old age of 100. And even beyond that. We don't know. And we sometimes hear the expression as well, the afterlife, with regard to coming to the end of days. And what happens then? It's as though something else follows on from that. You know, you get to the end and then they talk about the afterlife. And sometimes you hear that when you're talking. I've had it sometimes when I've been talking to people about my faith or the Bible or faith in God, and some people will interject and say, well, yeah, but I don't believe in life after death. I don't believe in the afterlife. You know, when somebody dies, they say, well, that's it, that's the end. There is no afterlife. I don't believe that. I think when you die, that's the end of everything, and that finishes there at that point. But the Bible takes a different view on that. And the Bible teaches us that Life is eternal. Life is eternal. It doesn't end. Okay, when this body fades away, life continues. It has no end. These physical bodies, they don't go on forever, do they? They wear out, we get tired, and things stop working, and eventually we come to the end of our bodies. But the spirit within us is eternal. That lives on. That lives on. And it's interesting that the Jewish word, or the Hebrew word for life, chaim, is phrased in the sense of a plural. It's a bit unusual for English because our language is different in that sense. But it literally translates into lives. So the word life in Hebrew means lives. And this gives us an indication that our earthly life is an expression of a single, never-ending life. One on earth, and yet there is a life to come. There is a life to come. Once this life on earth is finished, there is a life to come ahead of us. That life in eternity. And in Matthew 22, Jesus was debating with some of the religious leaders of his day. And they posed the question, you may remember it, they posed the question to Jesus about this life afterwards. Some of these people, they didn't believe in life after death. And so they questioned Jesus. And they said, you know the story very well. They said there were seven brothers, and one of them was married to a woman, and he died. So the other brother, as part of Jewish law, married her to continue the family. He died, and the next brother, and so on. And all seven brothers ended up marrying this woman, they said. And then finally the lady died. So they said, well, okay, in heaven, who's the husband then? They all married her. And Jesus said, you have a big error, you have a big mistake, because you don't understand God's word and you don't understand the power of God in all of this. Because he's not God of the dead, he's God of the living. He is God of the living. And then Jesus then spoke to them about being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had long passed away. It's interesting to note also that the Hebrew word chaim has, you probably won't remember this, it doesn't matter, but there's two little punctuation marks in the Hebrew, and they're called yod punctuation marks. And they represent unity in plural. So you've got the two marks, and they represent one unity, but there's two entities there. And so God is called Elohim Chaim, which means the living God. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as I was looking through this, I thought, well, this is interesting. So I looked a little bit deeper into this, and it's interesting that word, this gets a bit technical, but stay with me. The word Chaim may be formed from another particle called im, which means if in Hebrew, and the word chai, which means alive. So that suggests to me that being truly alive, to know truly life, is conditional upon our union with God in the truth of his word. So I don't know if you can see that connection there. To be truly alive, to truly know life and understand life, we need to be really in that union with God through the truth of his word. And that really spoke to me in a very powerful way. I had not thought about that before. That's the true meaning of life. Now, can I get somebody to read from John's Gospel? I read that this morning. If somebody turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and read verse 36 for me. Somebody would do that, if you've got your Bible open. John's Gospel, Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Ron. One translation has it as an expanded version, but remains under God's judgment, remains separated from God. So you're separated from God. And if we remain separated from God, we are separated from that source of eternal life in Jesus. And that's a very important thing to understand. And I want to skip to another scripture. If you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to read from verses 11 through to the end of the chapter. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 30, verse 11 through to the end of the chapter. The background to this is the Israelites have just been wandering through the desert. Moses has brought them through. They're just about to come into the land that God has promised to give them. And he's laying a challenge out before them. And so Moses says this. I'm reading from the New Living. "This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand, and it is not beyond your reach." He's talking about following God and walking with God. "It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, 'Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey?' It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, 'Who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey?' No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." That was a specific charge to the children of Israel as they were entering into the land. But there are strong lessons there for us as well. So he calls on them to choose life. Choose life. He says, you have a choice, life or death, but you've got to make that choice. And who wouldn't choose life? Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't opt for life? And Moses is saying to them, really, now, you can choose to live for God. You can decide to follow God and to know him. They had the written commandments from God. They'd seen God work in their situations many, many times. They had seen the power of God performed to bring them out of slavery in Egypt, and they were coming to the promised land. So they'd seen what God can do. They had the word of God. God had provided for them in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible tells us that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't rot, and God clothed and fed them for 40 years. So they had seen the power of God at work. And Moses says, now you're coming into that place that God has promised you. You've got a choice. You're going to continue to walk in that knowledge of God and to follow him and to listen to what God says. or are you going to throw it all over and go your own way? Because if you do, then that way is disaster. And Moses is encouraging the people and telling them, really, you need to choose life. And remembering that that word life means not just life in this body, but there is an eternal aspect to that. And if you choose to follow God, if you choose life and to follow that path of life, then that will lead to that time of reward, that place of reward. You will reap that eternal reward if you stay close to God and God's word. But if you go your own way from God, then that will be a disaster. And so that was the commandment that Moses gave the children of Israel. And as we look, if we go back into the New Testament again, if you've got your Bibles there again, look at the book of Romans and chapter 10. Just want to read a couple of verses from that. Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 12. And Paul the Apostle is reminding the people of that choice that Moses gave the Jewish people centuries before during the Old Testament. Paul touches on that here in his letter to the Romans. It says in Romans 10 verse 5, "For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth, and don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach." And Paul had been writing to the churches, and bringing the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, in verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." Under the Old Testament law, there were certain things that the Jewish people had to do to have a right heart with God. There were laws to obey. There were sacrifices to be done. But Paul says when Jesus came, he superseded all of that. He was the sacrifice for sin. He was the one who could cleanse us from our sin by taking our sin in his body on the cross, by giving his life for us, by shedding his blood. And we remembered that this morning as we shared in communion. That's what it means. His body broken for us, his blood poured out for us to cleanse us for our sin, to bring us into that place of right relationship with God, to know life, to experience life, not just the earthly life, but that full span of life into eternity and that forever life. And as believers, we are called to follow Jesus and to love him and his word and trust in him day by day to experience that abundant life. And in John's Gospel, chapter 10, it talks about the fact that Jesus came to bring us life, but life in abundance. And again, that life, and not just for the physical, but that eternal life of being with God, being with Jesus. And that concept of eternal life, living for him, it's a quality of life as well as a length of life. We can begin to experience the quality of that eternal life as we give our lives to Jesus and walk with him and live with him day by day. As we were just singing the songs this morning and sharing in communion, I just felt a tremendous sense of the presence of God here in this place this morning. It was just very real. Just very real. God was here among us. God was in our presence. We couldn't see him with our physical eyes, But in my heart, I just experienced the fact that God was here. God was here by his love, by the Holy Spirit. And there was just that sense of the eternal, that the presence of God was right here in our midst. The eternal God was right here among us as we broke bread together and as we sang the songs. He was here in our midst. Let me look again in the Gospel of John. The first letter of John. 1 John and chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Sorry, 2 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but they are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. It's that concept of eternal life, you see. The systems and the kingdoms and the processes of this world are fading away. And one day they will go. You know, Jesus is coming back. One of the songs we sang told us about that Christ will return again. And all the things of this world will be no more. All its glory, all its pomp, all its circumstance, all its business and fussiness, it's all going to go, everything. Everything that we know in the natural will be gone. Now, we live in this world, we enjoy the beauty of this world, don't we? And we live in the world day by day. But John was writing to the Christians, the believers there, saying, look, the day is coming when it's all going to change. It's all going to go. And if you are living for the things of the world today, if that's what you live for, if that's what you're believing in, then you're going to be sorely disappointed because it's all going to go. But he's saying you should be living for the world and the kingdom of God that is to come. Begin to experience that power, that love, that presence of God. Begin to live in the strength of the kingdom of God, which is coming, which is breaking in, because this world is passing away. And so John is reminding the believers that life, you know, is not just what we see and what we feel around us. It's that eternal element, that never-ending element, which we will experience one day if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So all these things will pass away, but the kingdom of God will be here forever. In John chapter 14, Jesus was talking to the disciples just before he died. And he spoke about that aspect. I'll just turn to it quickly. John's Gospel 14. And Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. So Jesus was saying to the disciples, look, when I die, I'll go back to heaven, but I will come again. And when I come, I will take you to be with me. And that will be that eternal reward to be in glory with me. So Jesus is encouraging them to look to the future, that aspect of eternal life. So have the questions been answered? What is life? Well, yes and no. Yes, because if we choose life, in terms of what the Bible says, following Jesus, committing our life to him, acknowledging that we are sinners and that we need to come to him for salvation and cleansing for our sin, then yes, that is life. And that is the way forward. Jesus will be with us every step. But we still have decisions to make, don't we, in our daily life. As Christians, as believers, we trust the word of God. We want to walk hand in hand with God. But we still need to make those decisions. You know, Yao was telling us about his choices, careers in the army. And he prayed about it and made that decision to go for officer training. And God is leading Yao on that path. So there are decisions that we have to make. But we pray about these things. But there are still decisions that we have to make as individuals. We have to make those choices. And the storms will still come. The difficulties will still come. They will still be there. But he has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. But we still have to live this business of life, don't we? And we still have to make those decisions. Should I follow Jesus? Should I open my life to God? Should I trust everything to Jesus? Acknowledge my sin? Confess, God, I'm a sinner before you. I know my life is not right with you. And I want to walk with you. I want you to take away my sin. To give me a new heart, a new life. God, I want you to give me a future. Not just for this life, but in the life that is to come. And there is a life to come. The Bible is very clear about that. There is a heaven to be gained and there's a hell to be avoided and shunned. And we want to make that right choice for Jesus. We want to walk with him and choose to know him and live with him within our heart. So yes, there are choices for us to make. Every day we make choices, don't we? But if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we're walking with him, then he will guide us, he will help us, and he will give us that strength we need day by day. Let me just close with a prayer as we bring our service to a close this morning. Father, we thank you for your word because it brings light to our path. Lord, it brings light to our life. Oh God, it guides us, it directs us, and it challenges us, Lord. Oh God, your word challenges us. Father God, as we read it, as we hear it preached, Lord, it speaks into our heart. And Father, we pray that you'll just help us, oh God, in these days to continue to walk with you. Lord, that we will make that decision, oh Lord, to choose life, to choose you, and to follow you. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.